This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
I have two stories on managing cultural change. I'm David Brancaccio. The NASDAQ stock market is proposing a new rule for the companies it lists, a requirement that 3/4 of NASDAQ companies do not presently meet. It's about diversity and making sure company boards have at least one woman or a person from an underrepresented racial, ethnic, or LGBTQ group. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
A company's board of directors serves an advisory role, helping to make key decisions about the direction of the business. Having a diverse set of perspectives at the table makes those discussions more robust, says Peter Gleason, president of the National Association of Corporate Directors.
You get different perspectives on products and services. You get different perspectives on issues that might arise, whether they're compliance issues, whether they're legal issues.
Multiple academic studies have found companies with more diverse boards get greater return on investment in research and development and produce more patents. Professor Yojud Chang at the University of Virginia says boards also hire CEOs.
Having a more diverse board might lead to having a broader network that allows an organization to have a more diverse candidate pool.
A board could also decide to tie executive compensation to meeting diversity goals within the company, making the business more inclusive beyond the boardroom and C-suite. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
More now on managing cultural change, in this case, the food media industry undergoing its own reappraisal of diversity and inclusion. At Bon Appetit magazine, a longtime editor from the world of book publishing is the new editor-in-chief. Don Davis replaces Adam Rappaport, who resigned after an offensive photo surfaced from 2004. The incident focused attention on a culture of racial insensitivity at the Condé Nast company's food brands. I wanted to know more about how the new boss approaches this kind of change. Don Davis, welcome.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
The abrupt departure of your predecessor pointed to the need for cultural change over there. What are your early priorities for indeed doing that?
Well, some of the work had begun before I even arrived. The team that remained have been introspective about this and they've thought about it. But what I will kind of build on is a diversity of voices and perspectives. But I also want to be a place where we gather to talk about how culture is related to food. You know, the pandemic has shown us how we are all connected, how everything is connected. Who's growing our food? How does the pandemic affect them? So I hope that by broadening the cultural lens, not only in terms of racial and ethnic diversity, but also in terms of how we even discuss food. And it's not like a silo, like, oh, I need a recipe and I'm done. I want us to think about it 360.
And as I understand, it's not just about who you hire to change your culture, but to pick up on what you're just saying, it's also about the actual coverage dealing with inequity in the coverage of food?
Absolutely. I want us to even think broadly about who we call to be allies in the kitchen, to be partners. Like when I was publishing books, I didn't think you necessarily had to be Black to write a Black story. You had to have the writing skills, the perspective, the sensitivities to do it if you weren't. And likewise, I don't think Black people should be limited to writing about one perspective. So I hope that there's some way to kind of bring that lens over to Bon Appetit. But absolutely, this question of equity is important and something that I think about.
What do you think, as a manager, what are the signs an organization is going beyond good words on these subjects and is serious about changing workplace culture, maybe the culture at large?
I think it's the painful process of listening and to maybe have some hard conversations around progress. And that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm going on a listening tour. I was literally the editor with a sharp pencil, as anyone who knew me would tell you. But I don't want it to stop just after I've listened to everyone. I want to keep listening. I read this article about people feeling they were only called for a certain kind of cuisine to be tested. And I sent off an email to the team. Do we know this person? Have we extended the invitation for her to make test something else? So, you know, listening and then making some steps forward. And when you go backwards, kind of reassessing.
Dawn Davis is the new editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit magazine and also will oversee its food brands. Those include Epicurious and Healthy-ish. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, David.
I also speak with star chef Marcus Samuelson, who recently joined that magazine as a brand advisor. You may know his restaurants in 8 countries or his personal story from Ethiopia to Sweden to New York. If you missed that conversation on the air, that'll be at our homepage, marketplace.org, where there'll also be a recipe.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
President Trump is threatening a veto targeting social media companies. It uses defense funding as leverage. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
President Trump says he'll veto a $740 billion defense spending bill if it does not include a provision striking down Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. That's the liability shield for internet companies over what's posted on their platforms, while also giving them latitude to moderate content. Critics, including Trump and many congressional Republicans, say tech giants have used Section 230 unevenly to censor conservative speech. Trump and his administration, including the Justice Department and the Federal Communications Commission, have been considering ways to revise the law. Tech companies reject claims of conservative bias and warn that repealing Section 230 could mean the end of the internet as we know it. As for Trump's threat, both houses of Congress passed their versions of the defense bill with enough votes to reverse a veto. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Do always have one eye on the markets here. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Here, the Dow future is down 110 points, 0.4%. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.